I just want to pray quickly. Yes, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your favor and your goodness, Lord. And Lord, this evening, we want to bring, Lord God, we want to bring Ben before you, Lord. And his wife and his children, Lord. And Father, we want to bring the Bens of this world before you, Lord. And Father, when Morris shared the story Friday morning, little did we know that Matilda's father or her uncle will die that same morning. And when Morris said, you know, we have such a small time on this earth. Are we ready? Are we ready to go? And then Leslie just shared with Corey Sanders, who was a good friend of his, who also was shot. He was 46 years old. Ben was 28, Lord. Father, I just believe that it was not his time yet, Lord. It was not his time, Lord. He came to you in such a powerful way, Lord. He's such a great testimony, Lord. But Lord, you're raising up men and women with testimonies, Lord, with stories to tell, Lord. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, as Michael just said, that we will not focus on ourselves and the stuff that is holding us down and just that one thing, if God can just do that one thing for me. But that we really will focus on you, Lord, on your kingdom, on people that you bring over our path. Because maybe in 9 months' time from today, they will not be here anymore. Maybe you might not be here anymore. Because maybe it might be the end for you, or for me, or for any one of us. We don't know. Maybe Jesus can return in 9 months. Lord, I pray, Lord, just for a new revelation, Lord, of your love, but also of life, Lord. That life is not about the cars that we drive and the place where we work and how many stuff we can accumulate and how many bonuses we have and the projects that come through, Lord. But life is about family, Lord. Life is about our brothers and sisters. It's about families and friends. It's about our parents and our children. It's about those people on the street even, Lord. Lord, that is what life is all about, Lord. All those things that we can, that we cannot take us into eternity, Lord, that is not life. But that thing that we can take with us, Lord, that gift of life, that is what life is all about. That you say that every choice that we make here on earth will determine how we will spend eternity. Which is a big thing, because eternity, Lord, it's going to be even heaven or it's going to be hell. And it determines on the choices that we make here on earth. Yes, Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll not focus our lives on the stuff of the world, Lord, but we'll focus on you, Lord, and the things that is important to you, Lord. Yes, Father, we want to bring this evening. We just want to bring every person here, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to bless us, Lord. Lord, to show us your love for us, Lord. Father, your grace, Lord. Lord, that we will not walk in condemnation and the stuff that I have to do for God, Lord, but we'll be motivated by the love that you have for your people, Lord. That, Lord, that place where if you love me, do my commandments. That we understand the commandments of God. That is, that we have faith and that we have love, brothers, Lord, and our sisters. Lord, I pray, Lord, for a new revelation, Lord, for a new season in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Serving God is life. I'm telling you, don't wait. Surrender to Jesus. The scripture that Fred just sent to us is the parable of the great banquet when he was doing this feast and he invited all the people and they reclined and they said, a man once gave a great banquet and he invited many and he sent the invitations out and come, the time is now ready. And then, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, I must go out and see it, please have me excused. And another one said, I have bought out 5 oxen, I go and examine them, please have me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and he said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. And he went out to go and do that. And he said, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. There's sometimes when God comes and he brings an invitation that we must respond. When God sends an invitation, I just believe we should respond to it. We must respond because God doesn't want us to do stuff for him. He wants to bless us. But we must align ourselves to be blessed. When you sit and you don't respond, he can't bless you. He can only bless you when you respond to his goodness. When you say, okay, God, I want to be blessed. When you stand out of your comfort zone and, you know, that little thing where you sit like this, he can't bless you like that. God doesn't bless people that lie down. He buries them. He blesses people that praises him. That's the place where God comes to bless him. But this is not what I'm going to preach about. I'm preaching about Leah. Now, Leah had a sister. Her name was Rachel. She was very beautiful. And this morning I said to people, it's sometimes a curse to be very beautiful because people don't look at your heart. I can identify with that, Maurice. And then people laughed at me, so I thought maybe I'm more like Leah. Just a reaction this morning. But Leah was the sister of Rachel, and their father's name was Laban. And Laban's sister was Rebekah. And Rebekah was married to Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abram. So do you know who I'm talking about? It's in the Bible in Genesis. Now, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was this very beautiful woman. So it probably ran in the family, beautiful woman. So this man had, like me, an eye for a beautiful girl. That's why I married my wife, Lynette. She should be here now. I'm going to get her to listen to this tape, to this download. But Rebekah, when she fell in love with Isaac, it was just love at first sight. And they always stayed together, which I just believe is so beautiful. Then she had twins, Esau and Jacob. And Esau came out first, but she prophesied that Jacob would be the one that will get the inheritance. And then, but Esau was a Philistine. He was a big, hairy guy. And the mother loved Jacob, but the father loved Esau. And when the time came, Esau came from the field and he was very hungry. Like we Philistines do, we just think of food when we're hungry. We don't care about anything else. I just want to eat. And then his brother had something prepared, a stew prepared, and he said, just give me some of your food. And he said, no, unless you give me my firstborn right, then I'll give you some food. And he just basically squandered it off because that is so precious to God, that firstborn right. But for him, he didn't care about it because he was hungry. And many times we do this. We just don't care about the things of God because we're hungry. We've got something else to do. So he squandered it off. And then later, his mother heard that Isaac was very ill. He was blind. And he said to his brother, Isaac said to his brother, to his son Esau, go and prepare something to eat for me. Go and hunt something. I want you to prepare something to eat so I can bless you. But there's only one blessing that he can give. The mother heard it. She told Jacob, come, prepare a goat. And she did. And by the time the brother came back, Jacob received this blessing. So he deceived his brother. His brother was very angry with him. He wanted to kill him. So the mother said, go to my brother Laban, your uncle. So he fled and he went to this land where his brother Laban was living. And when he came there, he saw Rachel, the beautiful one. The one that was, she was probably always getting the Valentine cards. And Leah wasn't. So she was always a little bit in competition. But I just personally feel Leah was probably a very pretty girl herself. But because she was comparing herself to her sister, she was insecure. There was an insecurity. And it says in Genesis 29, Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and in appearance. So her eyes were weak. I think it was like she was looking down. She was like always looking down. She wasn't looking people in the eyes because she wasn't confident because her sister was the pretty one, so she was just very insecure in who she was. So Jacob saw Rachel and he fell in love with her. And the father said, you know, it's not right. Laban said, it's not right that you work for me. What can I give to you in return? He said, I'll work for you for 7 years, but then I want your daughter, Rachel. Now, according to Jewish culture or custom, or that these two girls were also twins, apparently. That's what I heard. It's not in the Bible. This is something I've just, someone else after this morning sent to me. And they were 14 years old at the time when they met. So they were 21 when they got married. But that Leah was probably meant for Esau and Rachel for Jacob. But because Jacob got the firstborn right, the father had to give the older daughter to him. I don't know if that's biblical, but it sounds quite good. So he worked for her. And in the night when he asked his father, can I have my wife now? He said, that's right. And they got married. It was very dark. He didn't realize that this woman is getting married to. But I think in those days they got married a bit differently. You get a tent and then you get your wife and then you're married. It's a bit different than today. So the next morning he woke up and he realized his wife is Leah. And he was so angry with his father-in-law. He says, why have you done this to me? Why have you deceived me? But 7 years ago he deceived his own brother and now he was so angry. And the same thing that he did just happened back to him. And so many times in life we do things to people, but that same thing come back to us somehow. It just happens that way. It's how life is. It's these cycles. You think, you know, and then we always judge people according to their actions, but we want to be judged according to our intentions. And this is what happened to Jacob. He got judged because of the things that he's done. Now, for Leah, it must have been really, really, really a sad time. And when I was in school, you know, sometimes you like a girl and you tell everyone you like this girl. And then later on you realize that everyone knew that she liked your friend. Even he knew it, but no one told you. And you get so embarrassed when that comes to the light, you know. And how can you not tell me this, you know? So I can sort of identify with Leah, because her whole life, her husband loved her sister. So she was totally rejected by this man. And it says here in Genesis 29, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, so she was not disliked, she was actually hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And then Genesis 29 verse 32 says, Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. It means behold a son. For she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. So she thought, if she can bring a child into this world, then the father would start loving her and not give attention to Rachel anymore, but now would love her. So her focus was to please her husband. She wanted to do anything in her life, in her ability, to please her husband. And I must be honest with you, when Daniel, my first son that I know of, got born, I'm just joking, when my first son got born, my focus on Lynette changed completely. Because this girl is someone that brought forth a little baby like this. It's amazing. Your whole, hey JP, it's just the way you look at your wife now. It's just completely different because my child came into this world through this girl. And you know the difference between faith, to believe something and to know something? Maybe I shouldn't share that, but I'm just going to. To know, a mother knows it's her child, the father believes it is his child. But it's just something that you know, and you know what's a good thing about children? They look like you, the father, then you know this is my child. Then something changes, you know that is my child because he looks like me. And just this love that you have for this child. But for her, for Leah, it wasn't like that. Because then in verse 33, she said, she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm hated. So still, this man didn't change anything to her. Because he heard that I'm hated, he has given me a son also. And she called him Simeon. Verse 34 says, and again she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I've borne him 3 sons. Therefore she named him Levi. So every time she brings children in this world, so she's trying to please him and he hates her. That must be terrible, that the rejection that she has experienced in her circumstances. And she was really looking at the circumstances, and she just wanted this thing to change in her life, then she would be happy. Then verse, maybe you can identify it with this evening, where things in your life is just not good. And you just think, if God can just change that one thing in my life, then I will be happy. But for Leah, even if she got children, it didn't change her husband's heart to him. And it was very difficult, you know, and she had to struggle with this all her life. Then verse 35 said, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, which means praise, and she ceased bearing. So her focus from wanting to please her husband changed to, I'm going to praise God. And she called him Judah, I will praise God from now on. So something in her heart changed completely, where her focus was on the Lord and not on her circumstances anymore. Now, in Jeremiah 17 says that cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord, and he's like a shrub that's being blown through the desert and nothing good comes from that. But blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots in the stream, and he does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, and it does not cease to bear fruit. So this is something with Leah. Her focus was on man, and there was a curse that I'm going to show you now on her and her descendants, really. And then she started putting her trust in God, and there came a blessing on her and the descendant of that son that came after that. Because if you look at Genesis 49, Jacob got all his sons together and he started pronouncing a blessing on their lives. And the first three sons, look at what God is, what he's speaking over them, what he's releasing them with. He says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruit of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Then he says, unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence, that means dominion. Because you've went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it, and you went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers, weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel, or my glory be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and their willfulness they hamstring oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So the first three sons, this really bad thing has been spoken over them, because the mother was wanting to please the father so that her circumstances can change. And the offspring of that was a curse on her, basically. Now, verse 8 to 12, the following is said over Judah, where she said, this time I will praise the Lord. When she said, this time I will praise the Lord. Listen to what he's saying, what Jacob is saying to his son. He says, Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub, and from the prey, my son, you've gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness who dares rouse him. The scepter, the kingdom, shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tributes comes to him, which was Jesus. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. And he was washed in garments and wine, and his vestures in blood and grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. So on Judah, the prophecy of Jesus, the Messiah to come, has been spoken, because the mother said, this time I will praise the Lord. Even Rachel, who was the loved one, her two sons, Benjamin and Joseph, they just disappeared. They got lost. They were one of the 12 tribes that got lost, the lost tribes. But only the Jews of today is from Judah, because the mother said, this time I will praise the Lord. Her focus was not on man anymore. Her focus was on God. Her focus wasn't on the circumstances anymore. Her focus was now on God, saying, Lord, I'll praise you. I don't care about my circumstances. I will praise you. I'm surrendering to you. And you know, what is so amazing about the genealogy of Jesus that came from Judah, they made huge mistakes. And I just want to show you quickly some of the mistakes that they've made. But when you look at the genealogy in Matthew 1, which says that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then Judah, the father of Perez and Sarah by Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and the wife of Uriah and Mary, the five women that they're mentioning in the Bible who was part of the genealogy of Jesus. I just want to share quickly who they were. Tamar was Judah's son's wife, his daughter-in-law. And then in the bedroom, he died. And then the father got a fright because now this younger son had to be given to this wife. And then he died as well. And then the father thought, she's killing all my sons. Poison ivy. So he didn't want to give her the third son. So he told her, go back to your father's house. When you come back, then you can have her. But he never called her back. So she went and dressed up as a prostitute. In those days, they put more clothes on than today, so he didn't recognize her. And he was standing there, and he went in with her, a prostitute. And he had children with her. And it's two boys, twins as well. And their names were Perez and, what was the other one's name? Sarah. Then the father heard about this, and he said she must be stoned, and he realized he was the father. So, but God goes and he puts that name into the genealogy because he wanted people to know that I'm not shy of my family. I want you to see what I've done on the cross for you. Even if you sleep with your daughter-in-law, I will mention it because on the cross I paid the price. I paid the price for that. You know, Deuteronomy 32 says, one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter into the assembly. So if you have an illegitimate child, you could not come into church in those days. Ruth 4, the last paragraph of Ruth, talks about the genealogy of Perez, the one that was born from an illegitimate relationship. And you can go and count it. Perez, Hezron, Ram, 10 of them. Obed, Jesse, David. Because God wanted David to be the king and not Saul. Saul was once again people focusing on what man wants. And that was a disaster. But when they want the king that comes from God, it was David. But that God had to wait a 10th generation because he cannot go back on his word. He had to wait a 10th generation. Now Rahab, the next lady, she was a prostitute. She was the prostitute from Jericho walls. That when they walked around, that's Rahab. So once again, God puts her in his genealogy. He's not shy that he's one of his omas was a prostitute. Then Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. Now the Moabites were quite radical people. Because remember Lot? Abram had a cousin or a nephew, Lot. And Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was destroyed. That father remained with his two daughters because the mother turned into a salt pillar. And that night, the two daughters made the father drunk, and they had intercourse with the father. The one night, and the other one the other night. And that's the children, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And in Deuteronomy 23 verse 3 says, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. There was this guy, Balaam. You know the guy that the donkey spoke to? King Balak, a Moabite, said, go and curse Israel. And he went three times, he tried to, and every time this blessing came out. And he said, how can you do this? I ask you to curse them. And then he said, but I can't. And then God said, the Moabites will now be cursed. That's the only nation that God cursed. So Ruth was a Moabite. She was the most cursed because God cursed this nation. Yet God puts her in a genealogy because the mother right in the beginning said, this time I will praise the Lord. So all these mistakes are covered because the mother, the Omar, it was said, this time I will praise the Lord. And then there's the wife of Uriah. They don't even mention a name. Her name was Bathsheba. But what happened was, Uriah was a soldier for King David. And David was out of his anointing. He should have been taking part of the war. But now they said to him, stand back, wait at home, because we don't want you to be killed. And he went up the roof and he saw this beautiful woman bathing. And he fell in love with her and he said, you come here. And she fell pregnant with him. And he heard and he asked the husband, Uriah, to come back so that he could spend time with his wife and people would think that it is his child. But this man was so loyal to the king that he would sleep in front of his wife's door. He wouldn't go inside because he was too loyal to his wife. He says, how can my brothers fight this war and I go in with my wife? So he sat there and David realized he's going to be in a bit of trouble. So he asked him again to come and he made him drunk this time. Yet this man was so loyal that he wouldn't go with his own wife. Then David gave him a letter and he said, give this to your commander. And this man took this letter and he gave it to the commander. And the commander read it and it said, when the battle is at its fiercest, when it's very rough, then you withdraw the men around him. And they did, and this man got killed. So David, no one knew that he was the father, but God knew. But yet God says, I put it in my genealogy because on the cross I've paid the price for that as well. Isn't it amazing that when one person says, this time I will praise the Lord, when my focus go away from man and pleasing man to wanting to focus on God, all these mistakes have been covered by the blood of Jesus. This caused the genealogy of Jesus to come. The future of the first three boys was destruction. The fourth one was Jesus. Because he said, I'm not going to focus on men. I'm going to focus on Jesus. And then when Jesus was born, the angel Gabriel came and he said, Mary, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child to be born will be called the Son of God. And then she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. So, for the world, she was going to be an outcast because she had a legitimate child. But she just said, Lord, let it be according to your will. And this is so amazing because the mother, the grandmother, right in the beginning said, this time I will praise the Lord. I'm not going to focus on my circumstances anymore. I'm going to focus on what God wants to do. But, you know, it's easy to get discouraged. We all do. We get discouraged. I mean, this with you, Morris, you know, with me, we get discouraged because we look at the world and all these things are happening. And, you know, John the Baptist, the man that prepared the way for Jesus, the one that was saying, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. The one that said, there's one that come that's mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. The one that saw Jesus coming and he said, I cannot baptize you to you much greater than me. And then when he baptized him and Jesus came out of the water, he saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. And he not only prepared the way for Jesus, but he appointed Jesus. John the Baptist, he got offended with Jesus because of his circumstances. When he went to jail, he was in jail, and he sent his disciples to Jesus, and he said, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another one? He himself identified Jesus, and he got discouraged with his circumstances because he was in jail. And many times we go and we're in jail and we start looking at our circumstances and we're not saying, this time I will praise God. We start looking and say, Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another one? And then Jesus was at that hour healing people and many miracles happened. And Jesus said to them, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news, preach to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. John the Baptist lost his head. He lost his head. And then he lost his head. He started focusing, oh, my circumstances, I'm in jail. Oh, why is God not coming through for me? Oh, poor me. And he lost his head. And I think this is for me because it's so easy to lose hope and to get discouraged. And then you get offended. And when you get offended, you lose your faith. That we must really not focus on our circumstances and what God is not doing in our circumstances. But Jesus says, go and tell what you have seen and heard. Tell people what Jesus is doing in your life so that other people can get encouraged. And if you're not seeing it, go to the conference that you can hear what God is doing in other people's lives. When you see miracles happen in other people's lives, it will encourage you. It's like Brad going to Nomzamo and he sees the miracles and he comes back and he's like, guys, you must come and look. But when you sit at home and say, why is God not coming through for me? It's not going to happen. Joyce Meyer said on Facebook this week, and I just love it. She says, God doesn't move in your life when you struggle. He moves when you pray. Amen. That we didn't focus on, oh, poor me. Oh, arame ek, dit gaan nie lekker vir my nie. When my husband doesn't love me, maybe now he will love me. To that place we say, God, what are you doing in my life? Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, I praise you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, I prophesy to my circumstances. I will not be poor, Lord. I will be rich, Lord. I will walk in faith, Lord. I will not be despaired in the name of Jesus. That we stand on the word of God. That we say every word here is a promise of God. That we stand on the promises. That we believe that we have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. Each one has a huge calling on our lives. And God wants to take us from here to put us there. When we humble ourselves, when we put this cloak of humility upon us and say, Lord, in my own world, it's impossible. I'm a Philistine. But in you, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But Lord, I surrender myself to you today in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I will praise you. This time I will praise you. And God will raise you up. And I'd say, Lord, oh, poor me. Arme ek, dit kan nie meer so aangaan nie. I really believe this is what God wants to do in our lives because there are just too many people, as Michael said, there are too many people getting drunk and getting on tick and high and on weekends and we're focusing on, oh, maybe this time my husband will love me. But when God says, look at me, tell the people what I'm doing. Tell them the blind is receiving sight, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. When we start focusing on God and His kingdom, these things actually start falling into place. And I really believe this is the place that God is calling us to say, Lord, I surrender myself. I want to live according to your will. Can you stand with me, please? Yes, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, just these amazing examples that you're giving to us in the Bible, Lord, that we can see that men and women of the Bible were like us, Lord. They were just frail and they were putting their focus on themselves and on people around them, Lord. But the ones who are written about, Lord, are those ones who came to a place where they said, this time I will praise the Lord. Lord, and where Leah, Lord, where she came and surrendered to you and said, Lord, this time I will praise you. I don't care about my life anymore. I don't care that the fact that my husband doesn't love me anymore. But I surrender to you. From that, Jesus came. The one that came to set all of us free. The one that came so that all of us can go to heaven. The one that came that all curses over our lives can be broken. All iniquities, all curses, all bad stuff can be broken. The one that came that says, if you abide in me and in my word, whatever you ask of me will be given to you so that my Father can be glorified. Lord, because Leah said these words, this time I will praise the Lord. Father, we just pray, Lord God, I just pray for everyone here to come to that place to say, Lord, this time I will praise you in my circumstances. That I will not focus anymore on the thing that is not happening in my life. That I will not get discouraged. Because this discouragement will bring death to your health, to your finances, to your relationships. But it will speak faith. That will speak your kingdom, Lord. That will allow ourselves to be positioned in the kingdom of God. Lord, that we will not get offended, Lord. Like even John the Baptist got offended, Lord, but he lost his head, Lord. And you said, blessed are those who do not get offended by me, Lord. Father, I just want to pray, Lord, that we will guard our hearts against offense, Lord, that we will not get offended, Lord. Lord, you say in your word that in the last days, many people will get offended. But Lord, I just realize when we surrender ourselves, Lord, when we die to ourselves, we cannot get offended anymore, Lord. Because then it's not about us anymore, it's all about you, Lord. Offense comes when we hold on to ourselves. When we put our focus and our trust in man, then we get offended. But when we put our trust and our hope in you, Lord, we cannot get offended, Lord. So this evening, we just come and surrender and we put our trust in you. Maybe you're here and you just want to surrender to Jesus. You can just lift your hand, I can pray with you. If you want to surrender your word, your life. This is not to come forward, it's just to say, Lord, I surrender. I want to put my trust in you. I want to be like Leah. You don't have to come forward, but if you know you want to surrender your life, just put up your hand as a sign to the Lord. That you just say, God, I just want to surrender. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm just going to ask you, do you want to surrender and say, Lord, can you see my hand? I surrender to you, Lord. This time I will praise you. Because you're inviting me to this banquet. And Lord, I want to come to this banquet, Lord. I don't want to be the one with the excuses. I'm the one coming to you, Lord. Because I want to praise you in my circumstances. I'm going to declare that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, because you say, Lord, I tell you none of these men who are invited will taste my banquet. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that each one raising their hand, Lord, just can surrender to you. And say, this time I will praise you in all my circumstances, Lord. Because we've got so much to be thankful for. We've got so much, Lord. We have salvation. We have life, Lord. Some of us are married. Some of us have children, Lord. Some of us are going to be married, Lord. Some of us are going to have children soon, Lord. Some of us, our businesses are going to turn around. Because we put our praise and our trust in you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can just say, Lord, we put our trust in you because we never know, Lord, like Ben, when you're coming. And then it's maybe too late for us, Lord. So this evening, we just say, Lord God, we surrender to you in the name of Jesus. You can just put your hands down. If there's anyone that feel you want to take it a step further, maybe there's one guy that you feel a bit awkward and your heart is pumping at the moment. And you're scared of what people might think. But this could be the end for you. This could be the last time you can actually respond to the love of Jesus that's calling you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And maybe you know who I'm talking about here. You know this. You're just surrounded in darkness. There's the cycles of death around you. Maybe drinking and just bad things that is happening in your life. And you know, if you continue this way, if you must be called tonight like Ben, the answer could not be for you. Maybe to go to heaven, to go to this banquet. Maybe, and you're unsure, but tonight you want to make a decision. Say, Lord, tonight I'm going to praise you. From today, I'm changing my life and I'm surrendering to you. If there's anyone like that, I just want you to invite you to come forward that we can pray with you. We're just going to minister a song to the Lord. If you want to surrender and you say, look, I just want to come and let someone pray with me because today I'm making a change. I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm going to stand on the other side. I'm turning around. I don't want to be a Philistine anymore. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a man like Judah. A man where God said, the line of Judah, a man that stood, a man that was a righteous man. Even in his mistakes, God just changed his life to everlasting life in the name of Jesus.